Hey, friendly reminder, this podcast is not for kids or people who have a stick up their ass.
Friday, 5:58 p.m.
I'm sleeping with my best friend's husband.
I think my uncle killed someone in his suicide.
I am a sugar baby.
I'm a soccer mom addicted to Adderall.
I think my sister is actually my uncle's kid.
My husband bought his hooker a car whenever I was helping
him. I was living with my husband.
What's your secret? Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. My name is Ace Fanning, and welcome to 2021. I'm pretty sure this is my first episode of the year on here, but honestly, I really have no clue what is going on anymore. As a photographer, I'm officially out of my busy season, and I'm still busy with lots of other work, but I also feel like I'm in this weird limbo phase. And so I have no idea what I've been doing. I do know that I'm COVID free, so that's good. And I also know that honestly, even if 2021 has been a bit of a dumpster fire already, I just feel like that is the residual effects of 2020. And it's not stopping me from being optimistic about the possibilities of the year ahead. And speaking of the new year, I'm really excited to bring you this story as my first secret of the year, because I know it's a secret that you guys are definitely going to love. And I love when I get to share stories that I know you're going to appreciate, because it just feels like a big love fest. And I love that. I love when I share something, I'm like, oh yeah, they're going to like this. And then I love knowing that you guys loved it. So if you love it, tell me, write a review, leave a review, 5-star reviews only. Anyone else, please don't go away. But before we get to this story, I would be doing myself a massive disservice if I didn't tell you about the secrets that are going on Patreon. Recently, I had a couple on who separately shared their own perspectives on a betrayal in their relationship. And then I had a guy on who I called the Pleasure King. And it was honestly just like a laugh out loud interview with a guy who shares all about his sexual desires and fantasies and adventures. And then I did an interview with a guy who is very candid about the abusive relationship he found himself in and the ex-wife who almost completely destroyed him as a person. And I really love that interview, and I love what that interview represents in regards to men talking about feelings and men talking about being in abusive relationships, because it's not something we hear a lot about. And then tonight, another secret that, like, I just feel like it's like a twofer this week, and I know that everyone's going to be excited. Tonight's secret on Patreon is I am secretly dating my best friend's dad. Yeah, it is a good one. I love Patreon, and honestly, I'm so happy with my decision to move things around. It has been so good for me, and if you want to join that party, there is a link in the show description. Okay, enough about all that. Here we go. This week's secret, polyamory, married and dating. Tell me about yourself.
I have 3 kids. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, which is a big part of me. I'm a photographer. I love to go deep with people. So if you meet me for the first time, I love to kind of, just get into people's worlds and hear their stories and just what it means to be a human. I'm kind of obsessed with just the human experience and drawing that out of people, because a lot of people are obsessed with a lot of surface things, or they don't even realize that they're allowed to talk about things with people. And I just love to kind of hear about people's real lives and not their kind of curated lives, I guess.
How did you and your husband first meet?
I was 16 and he was 18, and we met on a website called buddypick.com, which was like the knockoff version of hotornot.com, where you didn't even get a profile or anything. You just had pictures and you rated each other 1 through 10. Like the worst thing that you could do as a teenager, but it was a lot of fun. And he lived about 2.5 hours away from me. And then we met up, and we both had kind of experience being catfished. And so we met up pretty quickly, and just because we live so far away, we got into a lot of really deep conversations. And at that age, I just kind of knew what I was looking for somehow at 16, and we've been together ever since.
On a surface level, if I were to meet you and your husband, who am I meeting?
I'm the more outgoing one and extroverted, and he's a little bit more introverted. But because we've spent so much time together, I think I've definitely brought a lot of his extrovertedness out, or a little bit more of an outgoing personality. But he's a little bit more quiet and doesn't feel the need to speak his mind as often as I do.
How would you describe your relationship?
That's a good question. I think our relationship is really solid. You know, you have a lot of different types of relationships around you throughout your life. And we've been through so much and overcome all of it, you know, and intimately know each other so well and communicate, you know, fairly well. Obviously, everybody has their issues, but I don't know. And we have fun. We just like each other. You know, sometimes you meet couples that just don't even really like each other, and it's hard to be around. You can't really understand the dynamic, but I don't know.
Talk to me about you and your husband's upbringing.
So we were both raised, you know, fairly religious. I think me more than him. He was raised like the typical Catholic, where you go to church on the holidays or maybe every now and then on a Sunday, but it was kind of like the thing that you did. And I was raised pretty extremely Catholic. I went to Croatia on a trip to see the missionaries, or not missionaries, visionaries that would come and report whatever Mary said to them, the Virgin Mary. And my whole family went, and we did this whole like religious pilgrimage thing when I was in fifth grade. So I was like super Catholic. When I turned around 18 or 19, my husband and I were together at that point, and we became non-denominational Christian. And honestly, I have no like ill things to say about religion or those religions in general. It was very incredible for our community and whatever else. But we went hard in it. We were in Bible studies and leading Bible studies at a certain point. And then we eventually became missionaries, went to live in Africa for a little while. And then, yeah, we got pregnant there. And then we came back, and a lot changed.
As young newlyweds, how would you describe your sex life?
Oh man. So I feel like more people need to talk about that, because it's so hard. And especially having a, you know, I would say Christian upbringing, the idea of no sex before marriage, and then all of a sudden you're married and you can have it now. So having this thing that goes from being a sin to now no longer being a sin is a very hard thing, I think, to wrap your head around. So like even the first year of marriage was very hard and not easy to kind of, I don't know, that sex life wasn't very good, I guess, in that sense. And you're still kind of getting to know each other. And we had had sex before marriage, but it was like a scandalous, oh my gosh, thing. We shouldn't have done that every time. And so I feel like that created some negative kind of pathways around sex, even after we were married, because we went from every time we had sex, it was this horrible thing we did. Now all of a sudden we could do it, but it still didn't feel right, you know?
How long do you feel like it took for you guys to find your groove in the bedroom?
It's a hard question to answer, because I think it ebbs and flows, like with anything, probably years and having kids, because then we had kids fairly quickly. We got married. I was 20 and we had our first kid I was 22. And so not only are you still kind of figuring out being married, but now you're like finding the time, having a new baby and everything else.
At what point in your marriage did the idea of polyamory come up?
Well, so I was diagnosed bipolar in 2017 because I had an affair, and it was something that I had always been drawn to, sort of having emotional affairs, you know, as they call them, but never had like a full blown, you know, all in episode. And I had this affair and then ended up leaving, you know, separating from my husband, and went through some whole lot of shit, ended up finding out I was pregnant. Didn't know whose it was, which was a new thing for me. Never had that scare in my life. And then when the mania crashed and I kind of woke up from it, I was pregnant and alone and didn't really know what was happening, and was diagnosed but couldn't take any medication because, you know, I was pregnant. And my husband and I, thank God, worked it out and came back together and just sort of like leveled out. But, you know, for me, I was always revisiting this affair situation. I was always emotionally drawn to people, more than sexually, but very emotionally drawn to people. And it was very hard for me when people would say things, you know, like when that whole thing went down, a lot of people would say to me, how could you do that if you say you love your husband? You know, how could you hook up with somebody else or have feelings for somebody else? And that's the concept that we're just constantly being pushed on us, is a concept that humans are only capable of loving one person at a time, period, the end. And I was never feeling that way and living with this tremendous guilt. And whether it was, you know, is led by the bipolar, or the bipolar just kind of triggers the fuck it all, I'll just do whatever I want. It's, you know, who knows, but that kind of started the conversation. And so I, you know, had the baby, everything was fine. And we had done, you know, I started medication, I think, after I had the baby, and we were going to support groups together. Even he would come with me to my bipolar support groups, and we were in counseling and everything like that. Everything was fine, and we were working and forming roots. But then a couple years after that, we just were communicating very openly about things, because I didn't want to lose this person who was genuinely my absolute best friend. So we started communicating very openly about everything. And if I would have like thoughts of like, not another affair, but just realizing that these thoughts come up, and I can say all I want that I don't want to have to do this again, and I don't want to do it again, but it keeps happening. And the concept of polyamory never really kind of appealed to me. I never understood it in any other way other than just, it seemed like a bunch of people having orgies or something. That's the only maybe concept that I had ever heard of it. But I also had this sort of sexual fantasy around my husband being with somebody else. And I don't know if it was to kind of quell my own guilt about what I had done, but I had it for years, for as long as I could remember. I just loved the concept and idea of, and it was, I was always so drawn to it. And he's a very loyal kind of person, doesn't maybe need it, you know, necessarily, in that sense. But eventually we kind of had the conversation and got serious about kind of looking for something like that. And at first it was just open on his end, so he could see people, but I couldn't, because he wasn't sure how he would handle it after, you know, the history that we had and what I had done. So when he started seeing someone and we were kind of like exploring the waters, it was looking pretty good. And we would have very open and honest conversations like, do you see how you could have these experiences with someone and it not take away from me and our relationship, and how you can even have feelings for that person and it not diminish the feelings you have for me? They're two entirely separate things, because I believe humans are very capable of having very dynamic ranges of emotions and to be able to love more than one person. And so eventually I started seeing people as well. And that just kind of, it was a test, you know, it was a trial run, and it wasn't without its kind of ups and downs, but definitely, you know, that's kind of what started it. And then the rest is kind of history, I guess.
I want to go back to your affair, and I feel like there are a wide variable of affairs that can happen in a marriage. And sometimes it's like, it's strictly physical. Sometimes it's strictly emotional. Sometimes it's both. How would you classify the affair that you had?
A little bit of both. And again, at the time, perception, I mean, perception is everything. So at the time when all you're being told is, you can't have these feelings for this person unless you don't love your person. So, you know, the concept that I wouldn't be drawn to other people if I was happy with my husband. And then that starts creeping in. So it was definitely, there was a connection, and it was fire, and it was like fire sexually, and it was fire emotionally. And I was in, you know, maybe my husband and I weren't feeling that with each other at the time. And it's like, you're like a moth to a flame. When you find that spark, you can't, some people, I guess, are better at it than others, but I can't not want to chase it. I want to feel it. It's like a serotonin addiction kind of thing. Like, I just want the release. And of course, like I said, at the time you're being told, well, it must mean we're not meant to be together. Maybe we had a good run. We've been together forever. Maybe we're just not a good fit anymore. So it was kind of a little bit of both in that sense. But I thought this guy was going to be, I guess, more than that. Like, I was going to be in a relationship with him and, you know, whatever else, because we connected so well.
How did your husband find out about your affair?
Because I'm a horrible liar on every level. I mean, him and I tell each other everything. We barely even have like separate lives to a certain extent, because we've just done everything together, and even done everything together in such a different manner. Like, we lived together in Africa, where the only people we had were each other. And we, you know, we freelanced together for a good portion of our relationship. So we didn't even have separate schedules. So when I was having an affair, I was making up just stupid lies, like staying late at work, like things I never did. And I just, horrible. I mean, I think that's probably how most people get caught. They think that they're kind of unstoppable. And especially throwing bipolar into the mix, you have absolutely no concept of consequences on any level. So one night he just asked me point blank, are you cheating on me? And I was like, yep.
How did he react to finding that out?
He kicked me out. And because it was the first time that it was as severe as it was. Like, I was repeatedly cheating on him over the course of a couple months. But prior to that, we had had instances where I was emotionally sort of drawn to other people, but I had never physically done anything. So this isn't the first instance. And so, you know, he rightfully was like, I'm done. I can't do that anymore. If this is how you feel, if you're just not happy here, then why do we keep doing this and whatever else? So he kicked me out, and I pretty much packed all my stuff and stayed with friends for a month, and then moved to a different apartment nearby. And I think I was out for about 3 or 4 months.
What do you feel like inside of you told you to get diagnosed and figure out if you had bipolar?
Because I had had instances like that before, but more mild. And this one was definitely the most severe. And it's this weird, strange feeling where the mania is tricky. It's a lot harder to diagnose, but then the depression comes and it's like, fucking duh. But the mania is like, you're just kind of on top of the world, and you're so charismatic that you even convince the people around you that what you're doing is fine. Like, I had even convinced some friends around me that like what I was doing made sense, and they were and in hindsight they all said to me, like, I can't believe that I believed that or thought that you were doing the right thing. Obviously you weren't. But you just kind of, you even like your energy attracts, like I still, you know, I can control it a lot better now, but my energy when I'm manic attracts incredible things in a positive way. I can very much like manifest, just because your confidence is through the roof. It's you, but like on speed and without the fear of consequences. So your confidence and everything is through the roof. So you go through all that, and even sexually, you have like a crazy sex drive, and you know, you're feeling on top of the world, and then it crashes. I've described it, the crash, as like waking up in after a car crash, and you're in the driver's seat, but the whole time you thought you were in the passenger seat. You just wake up to complete and utter destruction, and you're left to figure out how to deal with it, but you don't feel connected to it, like you were responsible for it, even though you were.
How did you feel when you were officially diagnosed?
Scared and in denial a lot. I mean, because it's, especially even with an affair situation, you know, not everyone that has an affair, it has bipolar. Sometimes it's just an affair, you know, so you're left trying to figure out if there's any validity to it, because there's no rhyme or reason sometimes to the diagnosis. And even to this day, I think I probably also have ADD, but I haven't been diagnosed for it. So it's kind of like a guess and check system in the mental health area as far as that goes. But so you're kind of left in denial. And I went to, it was going through support groups that I think really helped, because hearing other people communicate things that only you so far have experienced and none of your friends or family or anybody around you has experienced is very like validating. You know, obviously you don't want other people to be hurting, but it's validating to hear other people expressing the same struggles that you express. And that's when it started clicking that I actually had bipolar disorder.
I want to fast forward now to talking about the first time that your husband hooked up with somebody else. And I have so many questions about that, but I think I want to start with, you guys are this Christian couple who has kids. Like, how did you find somebody for him to hook up with?
Well, we went on Tinder, which was very nerve-wracking. And I think there is a website that you can use where Field blocks people you know. Like if you're friends with, if you use the same email as Facebook or something, it will like not allow you to come up for anyone that's basically in your circle, which is, we tried, but it's a limited selection on there. And yeah, I think it was just Tinder, and we kind of just threw caution to the wind at that point. I mean, we're trying to live our lives, and if people have something to say about it, you know, it is what it is. They don't have to live my life. So we kind of just, at a certain point, just put ourselves on some dating apps.
So were you guys the couple that put like both of you on the page, or did you put, okay, so it was like you each had your own?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. We had our own. And he's always said that he runs into the problem that people think he's lying, like he's just trying to cheat on his wife or something. So like sometimes he has a limited selection because women are a little uncomfortable with the concept, I think, whereas I have totally different issues with it.
The first time that your husband hooked up with another woman, was it like he had to go on a date with her, or was it like, hey, can I come over and can we just fuck?
Yeah, I think he went on a date. Yeah, I mean, because our whole thing, and especially him, he's just a relationship type of dude. Our whole thing is really not as much about like the sex as much as it's about just kind of experiencing other people and gathering what you can from these relationships. I mean, close relationships, any intimate relationship kind of adds value to your life in some capacity, or it should, you know, hopefully it's not taking away from it. And that's kind of our goals. And I think it is a little harder to find people that are willing to be in relationship with somebody that they can't have that end result with, you know? But yeah, so he went on a date and I think they hooked up that day, that first time. But typically, yeah, he goes on actual dates with his women.
How did you feel on that first date when he left? Like, were you just like, hey, have a good time, let me know how it goes, text me if you're going to be, like, how does that, it seems very foreign to me.
He sucks at keeping his phone on him, which is like an issue that we've had. Like, I'm like, I don't need to be up in your business while you're out with somebody, but I need to know you didn't get like stabbed and like stuffed into a trunk or something. Like, I know that that's less of a fear for men meeting up with women as opposed to like, if I were to go meet up with somebody, I would be afraid for that. But I still like kind of am scared of it. I need to know. So I usually have him like text me, I'm alive, you know, I'm here and I'm alive and they don't look like a murderer or something. And, but then like, so the first time though, I think he like went dark and I just drank a whole gigantic bottle of wine, like the, not like a normal bottle of wine, like the giant ones. And especially back then, you know, pre-quarantine and shit, I didn't drink nearly that much on a regular basis. So that was intense. And, but it was like, that was the only time that it was that bad. And I remember talking to somebody else that was non-monogamous. That's what we like to call it. And they kind of walked me through it. They were like, listen, the first time is always the hardest time. And then it just gets easier from there. And you just kind of start processing through some of these emotions that you feel, because a lot of these things, even like jealousy, what are we jealous of? What could possibly happen? He has a great time with this person. Does that mean he has less of a good time with me? No. Does it devalue me in any way? No. Does it take anything away from my experience with him? When we've talked about it, if that's ever the case, if we ever feel like these relationships or these extra, you know, people are ever taking away from us in any way, then we shut it down, you know, because that's not the goal. It's always to add value to our lives and not take away.
When he came home that first time, were you just like, hey, how was it? Did you have so much fun?
I don't remember. I think he stayed the night, I think. And then he came home at like the ass crack of dawn. But as I said before, I have like a little sexual fantasy thing. So I never mind it. Like, he comes home and I'm like, ooh, tell me about your whole thing and let's do it again. And if you cannot do it with me again, I will get mad.
Do you feel like after that first time, there was a change in the connection between the two of you?
I think so. I mean, I honestly think more so it was a change in the connection with ourselves, you know, being able to experience a little bit more independence. And I think it helped us grow individually as people and then be better together in that sense. You know, I don't know necessarily that seeing other people like brings us closer together on a surface level like that. But I think, like I said, just having been together since we were so young and not really doing much outside of ourselves and each other, you know, I think that that really is where the value is for us as a couple.
When you guys first started, what I'm kind of assuming is that it started out as like a, let's try this, especially because mm-hmm. you said that you weren't able to go out and hook up with people yet. When do you feel like it went from being this experiment that you guys were trying, and maybe he even thought it was just like a one-time thing that he could go out with this girl, into mm-hmm. this could be a lifestyle for us?
Well, we started reading books about it and just kind of really conversing about the concepts and researching the concepts and understanding, you know, I don't think either one of us really needed sex necessarily. So that was never part of the concept. I mean, it's an enjoyable part of intimacy and intimate relationship, but it was never part of like, hey, let's just go have sex with random strangers, because that always works out well for people, you know. But when we started researching the concepts and understanding, I think it also helped us, because of my bipolar, and understanding a little bit more about not necessarily even the bipolar, but the fact that I'm drawn to just the human experience in general with other people. I don't know. I think, like I said, we like to do things right and talk about it a lot. So it didn't take very long. It was just a matter of a couple months. He was seeing somebody pretty regularly before we opened it up on my side of things for both of us. And again, just in constant conversation. And in the beginning, I think it was a little unhealthy in that sense, you know, knowing every conversation we had with other people and kind of needing to know every detail about every moment. And since kind of those first couple dates and people that we've seen, it's gotten a little bit less overbearing and just allowing the other person to experience what they're experiencing. And if anything needs to be talked about, we talk about it. And you know what I mean? It's just a little bit more laid back now. But in the beginning, it was a little intense.
So he went on several dates with the same woman.
Mm-hmm. He's a very loyal dude. He likes to, I mean, and I'm the same way. If I could get a person that wants to be in relationship with me for longer than like a second, I would. I love that. I want to like know people and I want to know them comfortably and intimately, probably because I've been with the same person for an eternity. You know, I feel very comfortable when I can form relationships with people rather than like one night stands and hookups. Like you got to have a fire connection with me in order for me to enjoy like a random hookup. But I'm so much more drawn to people's minds and that fires me up that I want a relationship. So yeah, he saw the same person for a few months. I can't remember when they broke up. Maybe they dated for like 3 or 4 months, but she taught us a very important lesson about dating typically monogamous people, because typically monogamous people want to enjoy the concept of you. Like, you know, they want to partake and they want to date you, and but they can't rationalize and handle not being able to have you forever, because everybody has been taught that the only point in a relationship is for it to have this end goal. The only point to experience somebody is to get married. That's it. There's no other reason to have these experiences. And I mean relational experiences. Sex is sex. But so, you know, she ended up getting a little attached and intense and was taking up emotionally a lot of his energy. And he ended up having to break up with somebody for the first time ever in his life.
Okay, so many questions. 3 to 4 months is a pretty long time, I feel like, in adult relationships. Like, I think, you know, when you're younger, 3 to 4 months is not that long. But in an adult relationship, I feel like that's pretty long. Like, was their relationship strictly just, like, dates here and there? Or was it, like, how we would imagine an adult relationship that's been going on for 3 to 4 months?
No, it's pretty much how you would imagine. I mean, they would talk all day, you know, texting or whatever, or she lived pretty close. So she came over, and that's the only person we've ever really let like even see our children or anything. But it's easy to say like, oh, she's mommy's friend or something. But yeah, no, she'd sleep over and, you know, sometimes she'd come over after they were in bed and leave before they woke up kind of thing. But she was over a lot and they would hang out a lot. And yeah, it was definitely a very normal-ish, relative. Normal is relative, but normal.
And they're like making a romantic dinner together in the kitchen. And like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, mac and cheese on the couch? That is so different to me.
I love this. Yeah, I mean, sometimes, well, and then sometimes like we try to plan it. So at least like if I had a date, he'd have her over and like, yeah, they would cook. It's so funny that you said that because they totally did used to cook together. And yeah, so something like that. Or sometimes like I don't know if I'd be at work. I don't know. I would just come home and they'd be like together. And then sometimes like I would just like hang out downstairs or I would hang out with them. I don't know. That's the only time we've done that. It was fun for that situation, but I don't need that situation again. So like he gets to have his girls and I just keep everything separate now. I don't really care about it anymore.
Would they say I love you to each other?
No. And, okay. But I mean, I think that they did. I mean, I think that there's variations of love, you know what I mean? And I think the concept of, oh, you can't love this for, or, you know, oh, it must not have been love is silly. Like we're just breaking down these, like our human brain, mind, whatever connection, emotional capabilities into one word. I think love has like a very wide range. I think, you know, so yeah, I think they loved each other, you know, for a minute there. We were very intimately connected, and then, you know, she was a little too much. Trying to be nice about it. I don't want to be mean, but yeah.
Well, she's not going to hear this, so you can just tell me what too much means.
Oh, man. Well, okay. So I mean, when she was, she also had some mental illness. It was undiagnosed, but it's like once you start being really familiar with mental illness to the capacity, like personality disorders and mood disorders and stuff like that. I think she had borderline personality disorder. And I mean, she would just randomly spiral and lose it on him over nothing, and not even lose it on him for things he did. She would just lose it on him about life and things. And he'd be at work. And I'm sitting here and, you know, you start having to kind of rationalize things. Like, I know you are leaning on him, but if he loses his job, I am affected, not you, my life and my family. So this can't happen, you know, and those are the conversations that him and I would have. Like, I know he would do that for me. And, you know, he's a very, he takes on a lot of people's burdens. And that's when you have to start kind of putting up some boundaries. Like, I can't be this for you. I want to be there for you. But she would like berate him and then berate him that he handled it wrong, that he wasn't acting right enough towards her and her spiral. And I'm like, you are a grown ass woman. You have to get your shit together. And he's just like, do not berate this man who's like, I mean, it was way intense. And he finally snapped and was like, I'm not doing this. Like, this is, you know, like I said in the beginning, it has to add value to your life. And if it starts taking away from it, I mean, that's not really the purpose. And not to be selfish, you know, but if the bad outweighs the good, you kind of have to put some friggin' walls up.
So when your husband and his girlfriend would have sleepovers at your house, where is everyone sleeping?
She slept in our bed.
What? You give up your bed?
Oh, no, I slept in there too.
Oh.
Unless I wasn't there, then obviously they would sleep there anyway, but yeah.
So would the three of you guys
Yeah.
Okay.
But sometimes. But
you didn't really consider it like you were dating her.
No, no. Oh, but her and I did have, it got strange. It was strange. Her and I would like go do shit together. Like, we went and got like waxed together. Like, we would just go do random shit together. Because it was like, I don't know, I like the idea of that a lot more than the way that it panned out, to be honest. Like, I'm very fine to live in a freaking weird commune, or, you know what, like, just have other women around that are intimately connected and to do things with and, you know, whatever, sexually, you know, it just, none of that stuff in concept kind of bothers me, but, you know, her level of intensity and I guess in some ways immaturity is kind of wasn't working. We used to work out together too. We used to go to the gym together. I forgot about that.
So would there ever be times when like they would just like be alone in your room and you would be there as well but not participating?
Yeah, because sometimes, well, and that, like, because she lived so close, I never wanted to like always be up their asses, you know? So sometimes I would use that as an opportunity to like call whoever I was seeing, you know, just because it's so hard, you know, you're married, you're always together. So I would use that as an opportunity to kind of like, if they're doing their thing and I would just kind of do my thing.
Do you feel like it was at all hard for you to watch your husband be with another woman?
No, it wasn't hard. It was harder for me to watch him be like beat up by another woman, you know, to see how she treated him poorly was not okay with me. Like, I did not like that, because he doesn't deserve that. I mean, he's a freaking saint most of the time. So I hated that part. But seeing him happy, I mean, I think that was kind of the goal, you know, if this person makes you feel good, I love that. I want you to feel good. And just that didn't bother me.
Would your husband come to you with his relationship problems, like seeking advice?
Yeah, in that relationship he did. These days, we, like I said, we were a little bit more oversharey in the beginning, but yeah, like back then I was up his ass. We were up each other's ass with all kinds of shit. But now, not really. I don't know, you know, if he has issues. He'll like mention some things every now and then, like if it's worth noting, but I knew too much back then.
How did your husband finally come around to saying, hey, if you want to join in on this too and go find a guy, I think I would be cool with it? Because you had said that he didn't know how he would handle it because of the affair.
I think it was just through constant conversation. I mean, I obviously brought it up, like, I kind of want to do this too. But respectfully, I understand, you know, where you stand. But I think it was through conversation and just the understanding, like, hey, do you see how you could have sex with this girl and you still want me? It doesn't mean you don't want me. You know, it would be the same for me. I could have sex with this dude and I still want you and love you and want to, you know, raise our kids together and trudge through life together. Like, that's our partnership. There's no one else I want to be in partnership with. And I think it's through exploring the concepts, again, of polyamory or non-monogamy or whatever you want to call it, that I think really helps drive that home. Because again, we're being told all along, if you do that thing, it means you don't want that other thing. But that's just not the case. And to kind of start exploring this option, that it doesn't mean that. If you have an affair, you know, it doesn't mean that you weren't even, it doesn't even necessarily mean that you weren't happy in your marriage. It just means that was another thing to experience sometimes, you know, but we're, you know, perception is everything and how we're told and raised to think about relationships. And yeah, so I think he finally came around just through conversation about it, open and honest dialogue and the understanding the concepts, researching and reading the books and whatever else.
Do you ever struggle at all with the concept of religion and the lifestyle that you live?
Totally, because I don't know that I don't believe in Christianity, but the two things can't coexist, and that's a constant struggle for me because of what I've kind of discovered about life and living and being a human being is contrary to kind of some of the stuff. But at the same time, I think we were probably our happiest as Christians and the most, I felt the most grounded and the most guided, because there's something very unsettling about living in a constant gray area, which is where I find myself now, because I feel like everything is a gray area. You know, you can't, everything we know and think is because we've been told it. We've just been told it to be true and that's all it is. And now once you start questioning some of those things, your whole ground foundation starts falling apart, and that's unsettling. And I don't like that. I want to go back to a world where I knew what was right and wrong and black and white and just kind of stay on that very clear path without being confused anymore. But I can't, you know, once you kind of start exploring these things, I think it's really hard to go back. But yeah, I think about that constantly.
Who all knows about your lifestyle?
I mean, I'm pretty open about it. If I can talk to people in person, I'll tell anyone. It doesn't bother me, because what's the worst that could happen? They're going to judge me. It doesn't matter to me. They don't like, my basis for living is no one else has to put their head down on their pillow at night and be me. I have to live with the consequences of my actions, not you. But my family knows, my parents know, but I think they've just chosen to believe that perhaps it was a phase or something, because they knew when it was all newly happening, when, you know, because my mother lives in our house. We have a studio apartment in our house. So she's up our asses pretty much all the time. And I'm a horrible liar. So I, you know, I just told her. And, but my brother is a pastor, and I don't think he knows, but my mom tells him everything. So I wouldn't be surprised. But those are the people that I think make me the most uncomfortable, because I don't want to hear it. You know, I want my family to just pretend like it's not happening right now and we don't have to hear it. But like my friends, I'll tell my friends. I'll tell sometimes even clients if I feel like it's a relative, like, you know, something to relate to and give people an insight into just a different, I don't know, world.
How did your very Catholic mother respond to what you told her?
My mother's a realist. She knows everything. She knows even like the affair. She knows everything. And, you know, she's had her own fair share of garbage in her life. She's a non-denominational Christian now. But I don't know. I think that she struggles with probably a lot of the same concepts. You know, her and my dad have had their fair share of shit, and they've been very honest about their own lives and their own relationships. I don't know. So it's hard to watch her. And I think that's why it sucks, you know, that she feels like she has to feel a way about it, but probably doesn't, you know. I think she's probably like, yeah, all right, that kind of makes sense.
Have any of the people that you have told about your guys' relationship shown any interest in wanting to be included in your polyamory?
Oh my God, it's so funny that you asked that question. We have these friends that like keep making hints at like trying to hook up with me. I just can't. Like, first of all, I have really like high standards for people. Like, if it has to add value to my life in every way, if I'm going to spend the little bit of free time I have on someone. But apart from that, I'm like, this is so awkward. Every time I'm around them, they're like, ooh, that ass, or oh, so, you know, my husband would hit that, or I'm like, oh my God. And I just like awkwardly laugh and like walk away. If I felt like it was something I needed to like say, I would, but right now I just kind of awkwardly try to avoid it as much as possible.
Currently, do both you and your husband have a boyfriend, girlfriend? I mean, I don't even know if you call them a boyfriend, girlfriend, like somebody that you see frequently.
Yeah, we call them boyfriends and girlfriends because that's kind of what it, I mean, it just makes sense. I don't right now. My husband does. He's been seeing somebody for friggin' ever, since like the beginning of the summer. He's been seeing the same person, and they live a little bit far, so he doesn't get to see them that often, maybe like once a month, but he like sleeps over. But I'm so, so picky. I need this person, whoever they are. I mean, and I like, it's slim pickings in general, dating. I feel so bad sometimes for single people when I'm out there, like, what a waste of life these people are. But then it's even worse because I can't meet their whole needs. You know, nobody, some people won't date polyamorous people in general. And then other people will hear what I say, that I want a relationship and that I'm more interested in something. I mean, and I'm okay with it being like a 3-month thing and we just really are intimately connected and whatever else. And then like we can move on and you move on to go and dating somebody that you can marry someday or, you know, whatever it is. I'm all about the experience with people and however long or short that may be. And I say that to men, and my problem is they are almost always like, yeah, totally. So let's bang. And I'm like, oh, okay, you just don't hear anything I say. You just think that I'm looking for a hookup pretty much always. So I try to avoid just random hookups because it's never as good as it sounds.
So because you guys go on dates with your boyfriends, girlfriends, have you ever been worried about being out on a date and somebody who doesn't really know you or know about your lifestyle would see you, like another parent from school or something like that?
Oh yeah. I used to work in the city and I would date people in the city because it just felt less like of a chance, even though I would always see people I knew in the city and it would drive me nuts. But it's a little easier to kind of justify there. And people are a little bit more open, I think, out there than they would be out in the suburbs. But I was dating this person for a short time, and we were both paranoid about running into people that we would know, because he was non-monogamous but married, but like, you know, very similar situation to mine, like very Christian upbringing. And so like people around him couldn't know. So we'd have to find like these really obscure places that were just far enough outside of our general circle where nobody would run into us.
Throughout all of this, has there been anyone in particular who you feel like, oh wow, like there's a really, really strong connection here, like anything that could compete with what you have with your husband?
I think in the beginning I did, because it's really hard to kind of rationalize like all these new emotions and experiences. And, you know, when we first started, we were hitting some seriously rocky roads because of, it's just a lot to navigate. So, you know, my husband and I were getting a little, like, it was like friction. And then, you know, that same thought comes in, okay, maybe we're just not meant to be together. I'm meant to be with this other thing. But that was like, it was a good learning experience to do that, because I don't feel like that would happen again. It is because you start realizing through all these relationships that the grass really isn't greener. And my husband and I are best friends. I mean, we don't not have issues, but we just get along really well, and we enjoy kind of journeying through life together. We've gone on some epic adventures that most people don't get to go on together, and that forms such a strong foundation and bond. And I don't know, I don't think there's, at this point in my life, I don't think there's anyone that could possibly compete, because that connection and that like ooh and ah like feeling isn't really that feeling. You know, it's not, it doesn't mean crap. It's exciting and it's fun to explore and it's nice to get the opportunity to, but it doesn't mean anything outside of that.
I've talked to a lot of men and women where they've told me on the podcast that the man is very turned on by the idea of his wife getting mm-hmm. fucked by somebody else. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like your husband has that at all?
No, not at all. He's not that. I'm that way. I love thinking about him having sex with somebody else. It's such a turn on. But the vice versa is not the case. He doesn't need to know it or hear it. He knows it, but like doesn't need any details.
How often would you say that you guys are dating?
I guess it depends. I mean, like when we first started, it was like a kid in a candy store. All of a sudden, everything is exciting. You just want to date all the things. But now, like I said, I'm very cautious of my time and I value it greatly because I've got very little of it. So I will only date if I think that it's going to add value, which completely diminishes my chances of dating because, well, one, COVID, and two, it's just if I'm not willing to meet up with people online right off the bat, then they're not really willing to stick around or put any of the work in, which you don't, I don't blame them, but I'm not willing to just meet up with randos until I find somebody that doesn't suck. I don't have that kind of time. So I, for the most part, just don't anymore until I'd rather meet people in person. When I have like a face-to-face connection and that we didn't meet on a dating app, I have such better luck. I have horrible luck with dating apps. He seems to do pretty well with dating apps, but like I said, he's been dating the same person since like June, and he sees her maybe like once a month or maybe twice a month.
Is there any sort of jealousy on your end, either in regards to the fact that he's just with somebody else or the fact that he's dating and you're not?
Totally. I mean, and I have to check myself on it. Because it's, you know, it's, you have the feeling and then you're like, all right, but that's not a reason to feel this kind of way. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm like, I want someone. Like, why do you get someone and I can't find a single person worth talking to for 10 fucking seconds? So there's like, you know, just a general grumpiness about it. But I mean, overall, I am happy that he has a person. I think the part that I'm struggling with the most now is, I mean, having three kids and having been in quarantine and just having just all the stress and none of the relief is a struggle for me in the sense that I want to do what he's doing with her, but it has nothing to do with her. It's just that like, we can't go on dates or anything because we'd have to find a babysitter and it's COVID and like this whole thing. Whereas, you know, for him to go out with her, I'm just home. So it's fine. So it's like, oh, I just want to hang out with you. And I'm jealous that she gets to hang out with you, you know, but it, again, it's like not like a her thing or like an emotional jealousy. It's just like a tangible jealousy. Like, I want to do that.
Has there ever been a point where you regretted your decision to do this?
Yes. Every time I go through a breakup, I have no idea why we put ourselves through this. I had a really, really, really shitty, hard breakup last year, and it sucked so bad. It hurt so much, and I'm such like an empath, and I just feel everything so deeply. I was like, why? Why would I torture myself when I have a perfectly healthy, great relationship with somebody who's never going to leave me, and I don't need to ever feel this pain again? And then you go ahead and you fucking do it again. But it's the risk versus the reward, I guess. You know that it will probably always hurt to lose somebody you want and hope that you don't, it doesn't have to end like that, but It might. But the reward of just kind of the experience and what you learn from other people, you know, I've dated a holistic health kind of person, and I can't even tell you how much I learned from this person just being intimately in their life. And like, we would cook together. I would go to their apartment. We would cook together, and I learned so much about nutrition and food and just different ways to cook even, and even just silly things, you know, like making popcorn on the stove, like I never did before, but now I do it all the time. I mean, it's just like those things add value to my life, and that's why I do it, you know, to just kind of glean these experiences with people and kind of add to me as a person and make me a little bit more whole, I guess, in that sense.
How is he able to be there for you when you're having that hard time after a breakup?
Oh my God, he hates it.
I was going to say, that sounds miserable.
He hates it.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Well, and he hates it in the same sense too, that I felt, you know, about the girl that treated him like shit. Like, he gets like defensive. Like, he hates when people treat me like shit. He hates when, you know, if men hurt me, it makes him so like, it's a stressful moment to kind of watch your partner go through that. But then at the same time, it does suck in general. Like, okay, you're fine. This nobody broke up with you. Like, let's move on. Because I also, like I said, I tend to feel things just too much and for too long. Like, the way I grieved that relationship was too long, and he was over it after a while.
Do you feel like there is an expiration date on being non-monogamous in your relationship?
I think so. I think also we're very open to the fact that it can ebb and flow, that there might be times for it and times to not do it, and to be constantly open and communicating. And a lot of people think that it's this best of both worlds situation, like that it's just always all good, but it's a lot of work. And if you don't communicate already, if you're not great at communicating in general, it won't work. You can't do this without having an absolute, purely authentic and open communication with your partner and with all your partners. I mean, it has to be, it's not just fun, free, willy-nilly dating. It's very intense, and it can be very draining and in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, I mean, we talk a lot about how, you know, sometimes we might have to shut it down. It might be too much for one of us or both of us, or you know, whatever it may be. And if it's not adding value to our life anymore, then absolutely it is off the table. But I think knowing that it could always be on the table too is helpful, because we're no longer living inside this box that just might not fit. It's like, if the box doesn't fit, just find a new damn box, you know? And I think that gives us a lot of options in life to live a little differently and a little bit freer than we were.
I'm going to ask this, and I know it's going to come across like very fucking rude, but earlier you had said, you know, that with your husband, he's never going to leave you. And mm-hmm. I'm curious, what makes you so sure of that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, no one's ever sure, but there's a stability, or at least a sureness, in the shit we've overcome. That's like, if we've gone through that and come out on the other side, then at least, you know, little things aren't going to knock you over. You know, it would take something colossal, and not that that something colossal is impossible, because I've done it. I've been there. We've been through a lot of colossal shit, but I think seeing how much we've worked through, there's a little bit stronger of a foundation, if that makes sense. Like, with newly dating people, like, they're not good. They don't have to stick around for shit. Maybe like pick your nose in front of them, and they're like, oh, fuck this person, I don't need to be around them. You know, like, there's so much more unstable. So when you've gone through such tremendous crap, like, it's a lot more stable. You don't have to worry about the little shit as much.
I think that you really don't care what people would have to say about your situation, but I am curious what you would say to people who are listening and who are doubting what you're saying, or who just can't understand. And my goal with this podcast is to make people, not to convince people that like non-monogamy is for them, but that right. To just understand how it works for you, to then hopefully be willing to not pass judgment on you. But if somebody is, what would you say to them?
I don't know. I think people need to allow people to go through their own journeys at the end of the day. So I think, you know, and I even said to my husband before I did this, actually, ironically enough, I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to be like a speaker on behalf of polyamory, because who the fuck knows? Maybe this isn't the answer. Maybe we fucked it all up and we decide not to do this in like 3 months from now or something. Like, and he said, just be honest about that. And I think that's kind of what it comes down to. I don't at all pretend to think that this is right. Maybe I become, you know, go back to Christianity and realize that it was all sinful and it was a farce, you know, it was a fake, you know, concept to make you feel better about your decisions, you know, or maybe not, I don't know. But I think that people need to just allow everyone to sort of explore and understand to their own capacity, because it could be the answer for someone. And to be honest, I think it probably saved our marriage ultimately, because if maybe I am the world's worst person because I had an affair, you know, people like to attribute that as like the worst sin in the world, as only the worst people do it. But in reality, I think a lot more people do it or are drawn to it or think about it or maybe be tempted to do it than we realize. And I think feeling like my only choice is were to just be the worst person in the world, or I don't know, keep taking a gamble that I wouldn't. And I think this allowed us to be more open and honest about it. Like, if I could still love my husband deeply and be a partner with him without lying, because the lying part of the affair is the most hurtful part of it. It's not even necessarily the sex. It's that they were betrayed. Like, flat out, you came up with some dumbass stories, told them you were somewhere you weren't, and they believed you because they trusted you. Like, that's where, you know, the hurt really lies. So doing this, I feel like, eliminated the need for lying. I don't have to lie anymore if I feel drawn to someone or even unhappy in my marriage, or, you know, there's, I don't know, it kind of helped us communicate even stronger than we were ever. And I don't know. So, I mean, that, and like I said, no one has to lay their head down on my pillow, and I don't have to lay my head down on your pillow at night. Like, you're the only person that has to live with your choices and your decisions. And for some people, I think this opens up some doors. I've had friends that are like, I don't know, I don't think I could do it. You know, I'm just too jealous. And I'm like, it kind of is irrelevant. Not everyone has to do this. And I don't think everyone is capable. Like I said, it's not easy. It doesn't make things easier. It's challenging. You have to be able to communicate, but it might, you know, for people that are constantly struggling with ideas of cheating and whatever else, like, it might help.
What advice would you give to people who think that this is something they want to try in their relationship to avoid some of the mistakes that you've made along the way?
I would tell people to read some of the books and understand the concepts, because, again, you know, understanding those concepts, the ideas that, you know, humans are capable of loving and in like an endless capacity. It never runs out. Our love never runs out. So I can have one kid and then have a second kid, and I can love that second kid as much as the first kid, and the first kid never loses any love. So I think understanding deeply the concepts is really helpful, rather than just being like, oh yeah, we can just jump into this and start sleeping around and it'll save our marriage. And that's never the case. And I think making sure you are a quality communicator is a big deal, and that you're able to express and have boundaries. I think that's another thing that I can't believe I didn't even touch on, but it's a very big thing, and it varies from person to person. And even my version of polyamory is very different from some other people's version of polyamory. It's very, like, kind of unique to you and what your negotiables are and what your non-negotiables are. And I've even, you know, I've dated people who are non-monogamous, and they always ask, it's always, again, a open communication, even within new relationships, like, what are your boundaries? What can you do? What can't you do? What, you know, it's kind of just And I mean, it's amazing that people don't do that in every relationship, even monogamous ones, but somehow we don't. But just kind of, yeah, learning what even about yourself, what your boundaries are and what you can and can't handle, I think is a big deal.
If you are part of the Beyond the Secret Facebook group, I want you to find the post in there about this episode. And more than I really want to know your opinion about this episode, I want to know, and I want you to be honest, if you could see yourself in a relationship that somewhat resembles this one. And like, maybe it's not exactly this, maybe it falls into a different lifestyle branch. I'm not saying that like if you say yes, your spouse is going to come on and be like, what the fuck you mean you want to be a swinger? Like that, no, I'm just curious. Like, what are your thoughts on it? Could you see this for yourself or in your relationship? And, you know, I just think it would be interesting to hear everyone's perspectives. And then, like, go even deeper and explain why. If you're adamantly against it, explain to me why. Don't just say, like, ah, I'm just really jealous. Like, that's definitely an answer, but maybe dig a little bit deeper. I love when you guys are in the Facebook group and you're giving me things that I can think about. I'm also a huge pros and cons list kind of guy. Like, anytime I do something, I try to think about the pros and the cons and I make my list. And I think about the people who are potentially curious about entering something like this. And I think that it'd be awesome to have this reference for those people to just kind of read through all the different perspectives. And maybe you'll say something they didn't think about, or maybe you're saying the same things that they're thinking, but they didn't know it for themselves. If you don't want to share, then that's okay. But if you'd be willing to, I think that it could create a lot of really good conversation. And if you aren't a member yet of the Facebook group, there is a link in the show notes. And just so you know, there is a question that you have to answer. So please, like, don't forget to do that. I decline a lot of requests all the time because people don't answer the question. And all it is it's just, I just want to know your favorite secret. That way I know that you actually listen to the podcast and you're not here to like try and do like multi-level marketing or anything like that. So that's it. Thank you guys for listening. I will see all of you next month.
Everybody has a secret.